Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Ryan.
Welcome back, Ryan, to the Bingeables Podcast. Fans, if you've been listening for a while, and hopefully you remember, Ryan has been on our podcast before. This is like your third time being a guest for us.
I think it is. Our first episode together was Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. And then our second episode together was answering the question that we posited on that episode, what makes something quintessential? And
exactly.
That was right after the new year, I believe. So or maybe it was during the holidays, but it's been
January, February. It was definitely before March.
Yeah. So we so this is my third time, and I love being here and chatting with you guys. And although we don't get to talk with Isaac today,
he's missing out.
I love making time to sit down and chat with you, Chinlin. So thank you very much for turning me on to the show that we're going to talk about, and then getting to sit down here and talk about it. And I, a big fan of the show, and just love what you guys do. And I'm always very grateful for the opportunity to get to chat with just wonderful people such as you and Isaac.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for the kind words. You don't have to do a full intro of yourself, because ideally someone who's listening now has listened before, but you can give if you want, you can give a brief intro and share your social media handles.
Sure. Your listeners can follow me at RLTerry1 on Twitter. They can also follow my new show, which we can talk about in the spoiler episode later. The new show, it's a situation comedy podcast. So think comedy, radio serial. It's a completely scripted show. Or think of a sitcom on TV minus the screen, to give you listeners an idea of the show. So it's theme song, laugh track, witty retort, sarcastic humor, just a caricatures, kind of campy, the whole thing, which just made, you know, the sitcom the king of television for such a long time. And I've adapted it to a podcast format, and that show is called Four's a Crowd, and the Twitter handle for that is Four's a Crowd Pod, FourSacrowd Pod, Four's a Crowd Pod on Twitter. And the show launches at the end of August, so you can hang out with the cast and crew of the show there. If you want to hang out with me, again, it's RLTerry1 on Twitter. I teach screenwriting and now American cinema at the University of Tampa, American cinema being a new class for me, but it's one I'm excited because I've been writing down movies. It's like this, you know, in an American cinema class, you have to watch, you know, this, that, and the other. And I love being able to parlay my research and my writing now into a show. And I have not only your show, Chinlin, but everybody else I'm a big fan of out there in the Podern family to thank for it, because I think if I hadn't had so many positive experiences that were really inspirational to me, and I just, you know, I didn't want another movie review podcast. I love participating in them. Love it when I get to guest. I didn't really have the desire to do it myself. So it took me a long time, and then it hit me. It's like, why don't I create a scripted show? But if it weren't for the wonderful experiences I've had, you know, guesting and just listening and interacting on Twitter, I probably wouldn't have done it. So to everybody listening, whether you know it or not, you have played a part in me developing my own shows. So I'm eternally grateful for that.
Oh, I'm getting a little teary over here. Oh. Well, listeners, like Ryan said, the show will release end of August. So August, you said 31st, right?
Target date is August 31st, yeah.
Target date is August 31st. So stick around for Ryan's show on social media and you'll learn more about it there. So today we are here to talk about the IFC horror comedy series, Stand Against Evil. The series is created by Dana Gould.
Gould,
is silent, right?
I think it's Gould.
Gould.
Yeah, Gould.
You know, I always butcher these things.
Dana Gould. We'll just Dana Gould.
Dana Gould. Okay. The series aired 3 seasons from October 2016 to November 2018. So at this point, it's almost been 2 years since the show ended. The series is currently available to stream on Hulu.
And this is the spoiler-free preview episode where we're going to give you an overview of the series and why we think you should watch it, who we think would enjoy this series, and hopefully you will be in the group that wants to seek it out, because when Chin Lin told me about it, I'm like, you know, what the hell is this show? I've never heard of it before. Well, we like a lot of the same shows, and so she said, well, I think you really like this, because we both share a love of the original Charmed, which I know we're going to get into a little bit either this episode or the next one. So we share that common interest. She said, I think you really like it, because I love horror. Even though the show I've chose to written for myself is comedy, pretty much everything I watch is horror. So it's just funny how life, you know, works out that way. So she thought I would like it. And so we hope in our conversation that you will look to seek it out, or maybe it's not a show for you, so we'll save you the trouble from, you know, spending, it's only 20, 25 minutes. So, I mean, if you just dove right into it, you're not sacrificing a lot of time anyway. But maybe we'll save you from that. So, yeah, so it's a Stand Against Evil. And so let's go ahead and jump right into overall synopsis.
So the official synopsis is: a gruff, old-school sheriff, Stan Miller, reluctantly teams up with his young replacement, Evie Barrett, to fight supernatural forces in a small New Hampshire town. They got it pretty well. Like, some summaries are like, eh, really? No, I don't think so. This one hits it on the nail.
This is pretty much it. We have a relatively small cast. We have...
Oh, super small.
We have John C. McGinley as Stan Miller, who many of you, if not most of you, will recognize as Dr. Perry Cox from Scrubs.
Did you actually watch Scrubs?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I didn't watch Scrubs when it was airing. I think I was still young back then, but I watched it right
after
college.
You're still
young
now.
I mean, we're getting older every day. It's just a reality.
Oi.
Not to be a downer. okay. So I binged it on Netflix when I graduated from college. Because, like, I don't know, I just wanted something to watch that was a classic. And, like, I knew it was a good show that would be interesting for, I guess, was it considered a sitcom? I'm not sure. I can't remember if it had a laugh track.
Although, you know, I wish all sitcoms had laugh tracks, because I love the laugh track, you know, which was inspired by being recorded in front of a live studio audience. And so the laugh track is just, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, supplementing what really was, you know, part of the whole evolution of the show. But yes and no. It may not have a laugh track, so perhaps we don't think of it as a sitcom at first, but from what I know about Scrubs, it followed the same basic principles of a conflict for that episode. There's not a lot of overarching storylines. You know, it's very episodic, and the conflict that they would get into would be resolved by the end of the episode, and it was very much character-driven, dialogue-driven. So it really shared a lot with the, you know, with the situation comedy, even though it didn't have, you know, that whole studio look with the laugh track. You know, that is, you don't need that for a sitcom. The sitcom is more of, the structure of the show, and it really did follow that. So yes, you could consider it a situation comedy, just minus the laugh track.
Okay, yeah. Scrubs was a great sitcom. I think I binged like 5 seasons before I gave up. But hey, that's still pretty good, because back then, a season was like 24 episodes. I mean, by today's standards, that's like 3 seasons.
Exactly.
I mean, hell, Stand Against Evil is 24 episodes. We had 3 seasons of 8 episodes.
Hey, we did. So 10, 8 and 10 are very common nowadays, whereas not so many years ago, 24, like half the year, because it's like, yeah, 52 mm-hmm. weeks in a year. So you would have, 24, 25 episodes. And so mm-hmm. that used to be the standard until, of course, many of those being half hour shows, not all of them, though, like Star Trek Next Generation, it would often have 25 and it was an hour long show. But a lot of shows, just to have that many. But now, it's just the way we consume television has really changed. And more recently, the way we consume movies has really changed. And,
yeah, for sure.
And with that, we do get the shorter, bingeable seasons.
So, okay, so John C. McGinley was Dr. Perry Cox, also a grumpy guy from Scrubs. So he's got a type that he likes to play. But if you enjoyed his performance on Scrubs as Dr. Perry Cox, this grumpy sort of middle-aged old guy who often rambles on, like, by himself. Like, he basically does the same thing as Stan in Stan Against Evil. So if you're one of those people who just likes to watch a show for the main character because you really like that actor, this is definitely one reason why you should watch it. And then next up, we have Janet Varney as Evie Barrett. So currently she voices Korra in The Legend of Korra. I believe the dramedy on FX, You're the Worst, is now over. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan. I'm not sure if you watch it.
I didn't watch it, but I think I saw either on Twitter or just on one of those like Google news feed stories. I think it recently ended.
Okay, yeah. So she was, I believe, Janet Varney was a supporting character in You're the Worst. I only watched the first season. It was just too depressing for me to keep watching. But I really enjoyed her in this show. And she's just one of those actors who pops up in small roles in many different comedies. So Janet Varney, she's been in How I Met Your Mother, Psych, Bones. Bones isn't a comedy, but she's been in a role in that show.
But I love Bones. That was one of my shows, and I was so sad when it ended. I guess it's been 2 years ago now. But hey, got I think 12 seasons, so I
hey 12's a yeah, lot.
12, and I really liked it. We had Angel in uh-huh. it, and of course. Zoe Deschanel's sister, Emily Deschanel, plays our mm-hmm. title character. And that is one, so not to get too much on a tangent, but that is one that's definitely bingeable, you guys. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore, but maybe on the Fox's other streaming service, because I don't think it's part of the Disney Plus platform. But if you like police procedurals, crime dramas, Bones takes what you like about the procedural and the drama, but it adds in wonderful characters. And so I like this. It's definitely bingeable for those who like that, those types of shows. I liked it more than Criminal Minds. I think I would talk to people who were either Criminal Minds fans or Bones fans. There didn't seem to be a lot of a cross between, kind of like Office versus Parks and Rec. Just some people just gravitate, to those shows. But Bones, yes, I really, really like Bones. So our next character is Deborah Baker Jr. as Denise Miller, who's Stan's daughter. She was Esther in the CBS show The Great Indoors, part of the Upright Citizens Brigade, and performs regularly in sketch and improv. And her chops for sketch and improv really showcase very well in the show. And she's also an advocate for her father's nonprofit, the Dyslexia Foundation. And so I sounds like, you know, just a great person off screen. I really like the energy she brought on the screen. And we'll get to talk more about the characters in a little bit. But yes, so you have Deborah Baker Jr., who's pretty active on Twitter. And so she is...
I didn't even think to look for her on social media.
Yeah, she's on Twitter. I followed her, and she's pretty active on there. And she's one of the actors who engages regularly with her following. And so I appreciate about her, taking the time to interact with the fans of the show.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think when I was doing research on her, I thought it was really cool that she did all these other stuff outside of acting. Because, I mean, I think Stand Against Evil was, like, her big role. Like, if you look at her filmography, she hasn't done a whole lot of acting, but she's done a ton of other stuff. Like, I still need to watch her sketch and improv. I'm sure she's fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either, but after... after seeing her in Stand Against Evil, it's definitely something that I should check out. And because just such a fun character.
Yeah, and she's just so cute. And then last but not least, Nate Mooney stars as Deputy Leon Drinkwater. So he is best known for his reoccurring role as Ryan McPoyle in FX's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I personally haven't watched the show, so I can't say anything else about his other performance. But Nate Mooney's performance as Leon in Stand Against Evil is, I mean, he's pretty fun, I guess. He's just kind of in the background. He's not considered a main character, but he does get his title credit.
Yeah, he does. Other than knowing the really interesting story of how It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia got started, I don't know much about the show beyond that. But if you're ever looking for inspiration, listeners, for taking a project idea, a creative idea that you have, and getting it out there to the masses, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has a really inspirational story for how it got started. And so if you're looking for inspiration in how to into making your own show, you know, whether you want to do TV or film or a podcast or whatever creative outlet you want, just look up the story on it. I didn't watch the show at all, but I love the story behind the show. So check it out.
And then finally, we're going to talk about why we think geeks should watch Stand Against Evil. And Ryan, I'm going to let you take the reins.
Sure. Thank you very much, Chinlin. I think one of the things that I appreciated most about it, and what one of the reasons why you were able to turn me on to it, is you said they're 30-minute episodes. And so there's no commercials on not as many commercials on Hulu, so they really clock in at like 20, 25 minutes. And so it's very, very digestible. It is the type of show that you can have on in the background. Have to, like, you can be doing something else. And meaning no disrespect to the creators and actors in the show, but you can be writing on your computer. You know, you could, you know, be on your phone, you know, texting a friend or something, and you can still follow the show. And I really liked having the show, a show like that, because often in my house, even if I don't want to or have the time to sit down in front of the TV, I like having something on there. Sometimes I have podcasts playing in my house over Alexa, or I have, you know, something on the TV. And so this is a show that you can really do that. I recently shared this show with a couple of friends of mine who are part of the M Report Pod, Minorities Report podcast, and they both really liked it. And they're kind of one of them. It's actually one of my best friends. We've known each other since 2009. I thought he was going to be a hard sell, and he liked it. Of course, he liked it because I told him. I said, Raul, I said, it's like Stan is you. Now, Raul's from Puerto Rico. So I said, you know, Stan's just the white version of you. But it's just like everything is just very, just kind of gruff and kind of cranky, heart of gold, but rough around the edges and just very abrasive. And that's him. And so I'm like, this guy, this is just middle-aged white you. And so I think you should watch it. And he agreed with me. He watched the show and he was just like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I can see it. I think other people who will love this are those that enjoy slapstick comedy and irreverent humor. You have to have a sense of humor watching this show. I think one of the tragedies that seems to have befallen us and probably the last 5 or 10 years is just say the ever dwindling sense of humor. And so it's really important to be able to laugh at yourself. I have tropes. I am, a gay white male over 30, and I come with tropes, and I can laugh at those tropes. I can laugh at the stereotype because it's kind of true, and I can laugh at myself. And so if I can laugh at myself when there are shows that make jokes about my stereotype or my tropes, I can laugh at those too, because I laugh at my own self. And so I think if we can't laugh at ourselves, then, what does this world come to? So yes, it is, there's a lot of irreverent humor in it, but it fits within the world of the show. It fits these characters. This reminds me of the kind of stuff that these characters would actually say. And I found it really entertaining. I'm like, and it's just like, whoa, you didn't just say that, did you? But it still works. It works in the show. So if you enjoy slapstick comedy and irreverent humor, I think you're going to like this. And then also, we mentioned Charmed earlier. I think very simply, if you like Charmed or Ash versus Evil Dead, you're also going to like this show. It's funnier than Ash versus Evil Dead, and definitely funnier than Charmed, Charmed not being a comedy. So if you like Charmed, Ash versus Evil Dead, that's pretty much what you have here. It's Charmed meets Ash versus Evil Dead. That is a stand against evil.
So I have one tiny thing I would like to respectfully disagree on. So I haven't watched Ash versus Evil Dead, so I can't say anything about that. But obviously you and I were both Charmed fans, OG Charmed fans. I'm not sure if all Charmed fans would be into a show like Stand Against Evil.
Okay.
Because it's more slapstick horror comedy.
Okay.
It's not too heavy on the supernatural. Well, no, wait, no, on. Let me take that back. It's not too heavy on fantasy supernatural.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
You're not going to meet fairies and elves in Stand Against Evil. But you do still come across demons, for sure.
And there is magic, especially in the latter part of this shortly lived series. And so we have that.
There's still a magic book. Mm-hmm. There's still a little spell casting. There's no potions involved. So, I mean, if you were a potions nerd like me and Piper was your favorite and you loved how good she was with potions and Charmed, like, it's just not something that's in Stand Against Evil. So I have a feeling like, I mean, I guess the show in general just may not be someone's cup of tea. It just depends on what shows do you prefer. And you were recommending that Charmed fans may like Stand Against Evil. I'm just saying maybe not all Charmed fans, maybe some Charmed fans would like it.
You know who we should ask? We should ask Rob and Sean of Brunch with the Hollowells, and we should see if either one of them have seen Stand Against Evil, or get them to watch it. And then I think that might give us our definitive answer to that. Will most or all Charmed fans like it, or will some, not many? And so I think that might be something we could look into. And so I hopefully Rob and Sean are listening right now. So if you are, You know, what do you think? Do you think, you know, what you know, do you think, you know, Charm fans should give Stand Against Evil a try? Monster of the Week. I mean, we got Monster of the Week, and we have the magic. So I don't know, but I think we could field that question to them and see what they think.
So if Isaac was here right now, he would tell you right away. Two people is too small of a sample size. But if we can convince other Charmed fans to also give Stand Against Evil a try and see what they say, like, I mean, the more the merrier. So some of my reasons that I think geeks should watch Stand Against Evil. Basically, if you are into goofy, cheesy horror and low budget special effects, don't bother you. That's a big one because this show is obviously a small budget show. IFC is a smaller network. You're not going to get the same quality as other shows you've seen on other bigger networks. But if those things, if that doesn't bother you and you like goofy, cheesy horror, then this show is definitely worth a shot. But honestly, this is also coming from someone who is easily amused. Like, I'm sure my taste in shows and is my quality of taste in shows is slightly lower than Isaac's. But hey, there's a reason why he's not on this recording right now.
It is. I have to echo that the some of the effects were super cheesy and definitely low budget. It fits the show though. This show did not need high budget special effects, you know, with the just with everything else going on. I think the low budget effects that we got, and I'm going to use air quotes around low budget, I think worked great with the show, because that's what I wanted, was kind of campy effects. There is a time and a place for that. You know, if I go to watch, you know, the next Conjuring film, for example, or you know, Halloween Kills, which we now have to wait until next year for. If I'm going and watching those, I don't want cheesy low budget special effects. I do want practical effects, but I don't want cheesy low budget, you know, effects. I think it, you know, it works for this. But those, to your point, Chinlin, those bother some people. And so if you are not those some people that allow this low, you know, low budget special effects, you know, to bother you, then you'll probably like it because they're fun. Yeah, you know what? Somebody in a cheesy ass costume that was probably on clearance at, you know, Spirit Halloween, but they're having so much fun. And when you see these characters having fun on screen, you're really willing to forgive some of the production value because they're having fun and you're having fun.
Oh, hey, this show premiered on Halloween 2016.
Sweet.
So, I think last year I wanted to do this around October, but like I said, it wasn't Isaac's cup of tea, so it was kind of just on the back burner. So when this episode releases, it's going to be August, so a little early of Halloween, but if you're a Halloween enthusiast like I am, it doesn't matter. You're still going to listen and watch. And then, like you said, Monster of the Week format, also good for people who enjoy that. And last but not least, like you said, it's not a complex show. The story is very easy to understand. There's not a whole lot going on, which makes sense because there's only 8 episodes in every season. So it is a quick binge. I did my rewatch this week. Like, I started on Monday and I finished last night. And so it is a quick binge. And what else was I gonna say? Oh, I do want to make one comment to something you said earlier, Ryan. You can totally have the show playing in the background, but I would like to disagree. I would
Okay.
not text while you watch this show
Okay.
because there were some things I missed the first time around. So
Oh,
when I
okay.
did my rewatch this week, I was like, oh shit, how did I miss that? Okay, well, that explains it.
Okay, well, you make a fair point. I will withdraw that I will withdraw that. So it is probably you can have it on in the background, but you're right. Probably shouldn't be typing away or texting while you're watching the show. So but you can have it on while you're making dinner, perhaps, or lunch, or just having maybe a game, game night or something. But try not to be, I guess, don't be too distracted.
It's not a complex show. It's not a detailed show like Futurama, where you want to catch those details in the background to fully understand something. But yeah, like there might be a few things throughout watching the show where if you miss a detail, you might not get something right away. And that's pretty much it for all of my reasons. And that actually wraps up the spoiler-free episode on Stand Against Evil. Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming back again to cover this show with me. I really appreciate it because I really do like this show, given some of the cons, the pros and cons, but obviously we'll get into that in the next episode.
Sure. Thank you so much, Chinlin, for having me back and introducing me to a show that I didn't know existed. But I'm so glad you did because I really enjoyed watching it, and I didn't want to stop. Like I really, it's the very definition of binge. After I watched, the first episode, well, I had to watch a second one and the third one, and then the only reason I'd stop is because I had to, had to go, I mean, go to bed because I'd usually just watch it after work or. After practice, and so then I'd go to bed, and then I'd go to work, and come back, and then I'd watch it again. So it, yeah, I'm glad you did. It kept me entertained, and
I'm
I,
glad you
yeah,
recommended it to someone else.
I did, and they liked it. I don't know if they've continued watching it or not, but they were visiting me about a month ago, and I said, "Hey, we should, let me just show you this show. The way I'm going to describe it to you, I already know you're probably gonna say no, but I tell you, sit down and watch it." And they laughed. In fact, I think we watched two episodes because they said, "Oh, we want to watch the second one." So, so that and that's a group. Those are one individual in particular who. This totally isn't the type of show that he would ordinarily watch, and he really liked it. So I think it definitely has an audience and is worth seeking out because you'll laugh, you'll have a good time, and it's we need more stuff on our TVs that make us laugh instead of cringe or cry or worry. And so this will give us something that can uplift us and give us some laughter in our lives, in the evenings after work.
Well said, Ryan. Well said.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGEABLESPOD.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at bingeablespod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables Podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.